Plano Bible has had a big impact in our lives personally. You can say.
Dice que
Plano Bible Chapel está apagado.
Sí.
Bueno, está bien. Ahí está. Dice que Plano Bible Chapel ha impactado mucho en la vida de ellos
and
y la mía también.
And it has impacted many people in Plano, the community, and around the world.
Y que ha impactado a mucha gente en la comunidad y también en otras partes del mundo.
So Denise and I went to 5 different stores yesterday to look for stuff for the house.
Dice que él y Denise fueron a 5 tiendas diferentes a buscar cosas.
Yeah, and it was a bummer. No. It was a bummer. No,
it
was
a bummer, I guess.
But okay, so we're at the last store and we're checking out. And Denise is given our address, and the gal and the girl says, "Hey, I live near where you guys live."
Dice que cuando ya estaban listos para pagar, que le hicieron amistad con la gente, con la cajera, y que les dijo, dice que vivía cerca de donde ellos viven.
So I gave her, like I always do, I gave her a card with my name on it, Plano Bible Chapel, and I said, "Hey, whenever you'd like to come to the church, you're welcome."
Dice que le dio una tarjeta como siempre lo sabe hacer y que dice que con la información de ellos y que cuando ella quisiera venir, pues que es bienvenida.
So she says, I grew up going to VBS at that church."
Dice que dijo que ella creció viniendo a escuela bíblica de vacaciones aquí.
And she says, "I have such great memories of that church."
Y que dijo que ella tenía grandes memorias de esta iglesia.
Which also means she doesn't attend this church.
Dice
right
que,
now.
Que lo que quiere decir también que ella no atiende a esta iglesia.
So she says, "Yeah, I know 2 people there at the church that are that I knew from high school."
Dice que hay 2 personas que conoce aquí que fueron a la preparatoria juntos.
She says, "Yeah, it's some guy named Jacob Payne. And some girl named Annika."
Dice que era una persona, Jacob, yeah. Y la otra, Annika.
And so, anyway, so we had this conversation. I invited her again. And so, Jacob, you need to call her.
Dice que entonces tuvieron esa conversación y que la volvió a invitar. Y pues ya le echaron el gancho a Jacob que tiene que hablarle. So...
So I meet people like that every day. That I've been in Plano, I meet people like that.
Dice que aquí, él estando aquí, dice que necesita ese tipo de gente.
We, in the Spanish service, we've been talking about marriage and the role of husband and wife, and we're going to talk about the family.
Okay, dice que en el servicio en español hemos estado hablando el tema de la familia, y especialmente de esposos y esposas.
So today, you didn't know this, guys, but I'm just going to continue on, and we're going to talk about the husbands.
Dice que él va a decir que ahora no sabían ustedes, hombres, o nosotros los hombres no sabíamos, pero que él va a hablar de esto hoy.
We talked about the women's role last week.
Habló acerca de la, el rol o la posición que tienen las mujeres la semana pasada.
So we're going to talk about the husband's role this week.
Entonces hoy van a hablar de nosotros, los hombres, los esposos.
And there's still a lot of confusion about the role of the man and what he is to be like in our society today. And the most seen characteristic probably still is the absent male.
Okay. ¿Ya tengo que empezar a leer aquí entonces?
Oh, okay.
Estaba tratando de traducir lo que me está diciendo, pero como lo tengo escrito, entonces ya no sabía cuándo íbamos a empezar a leerlo. Así es que dice...
Perdón. Excuse me.
Dice, todavía hay mucha confusión sobre el papel de un hombre y cómo será. En nuestra sociedad actual, las características más vistas es el hombre ausente.
And there are... We talked last week that... A couple weeks ago, a man and a wife, what they should do is leave and cleave, and then the two become one flesh so that the intimacy of companionship can occur. And both man and woman have a unique role to play about so that the family will thrive.
Dice que en las últimas semanas vimos en el servicio en español que debería haber una separación de donde el padre, el hijo o el esposo deja al padre y madre y luego los dos se convertirán a una sola carne que será para que las intimidades de la compañía pudiera ocurrir. Tanto el hombre como la mujer tienen un papel único que desempeñar para que la familia prospere.
Y tasks in the family are like raising kids, providing a loving environment, providing needs, being a testimony to the world. And the family is the most important institution in our society. What is crazy is that most men understand that they're about their, they most understand their job description at work rather than their job description in the home.
Dice, las tareas en la familia incluyen criar hijos, proporcionar un ambiente amoroso, satisfacer necesidades y ser un testimonio para el mundo. La familia es la institución más importante de la sociedad. Lo loco es que la mayoría de los hombres entienden la descripción de su trabajo en el trabajo más que la descripción de su trabajo en el hogar.
So the passage in the Bible that we're going to look at today is Ephesians 5. 22-24, and women, if you hear the word submission, then you need to really know what that truly means. I explained it to the women last week in the Spanish service, therefore you can ask one of them what they said, what they think. But I'll give you a quick definition of what I told them. Let me just tell you what I said to them. I said that kind of a definition of submitting in the family is basically, it's putting something but basically it means that the wife arranges her life below the direction of her husband. Okay? So basically everything in her life is under that direction of her husband, but we're going to talk about, and when she does that, that's a great thing, and everything works well. Obviously, the husband has to do his job, and that's what we're going to talk about today. But okay, I don't know if you can say that.
Well, I was writing aquí, so I'm just going to read it.
Okay.
Dice, el pasaje de la Biblia que veremos por primera vez hoy se encuentra en Efesios capítulo 5, versículos 22 al 24. Mujeres, si escuchan la palabra sumisión, entonces necesitan saber lo que realmente significa. Les expliqué esto a las mujeres en el servicio en español la semana pasada. Por lo tanto, puede preguntar a una de ellas. Ahora queremos echar un vistazo al papel del hombre en la familia. Entonces, hombres, si se sienten secuestrados esta mañana, todo lo que puedo decir es lo que es. Sé que estoy en el mismo bote que el resto de ustedes o en el mismo barco. Vamos a sumergirnos en lo que dice la palabra de Dios sobre el esposo y la familia.
So the first point we want to see is that the man is the leader of the family. Let's look at verses 5, Ephesians 5, 22-23. The command here is given in form of principle, and the key verse is verse 23, where it says, "For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body of which he is a savior." And so it says that the man is the head of the family, he is the leader.
Entonces el versículo 23 dice que el hombre es el líder de la familia. El mandato aquí se da en forma de principio. El versículo clave es el 23, donde dice que el esposo es la cabeza de la esposa, como también Cristo es la cabeza de la iglesia. Dice que el hombre es el jefe de la familia o que él es el líder de la misma.
A famous comedian once said that many people think the husband is in charge. And he said the truth of the matter is that the wife is the one in charge and the husband is not. If the man truly believes he is in charge, have him go out to Sherman Williams paint store and buy paint for the interior of the house and repaint all the walls.
Dice, un famoso comediante dijo una vez que muchas personas piensan que el esposo está a cargo. La verdad del asunto es que la esposa es la encargada y el esposo no. Si el hombre realmente cree que él está encargado, entonces que vaya a la tienda de pinturas Sherwin-Williams Y compre pintura para el interior de la casa y repinte todas las paredes.
He would have a longer life expectancy sprinkling rat poison on his eggs. If he would try to buy the paint and apply it to the walls without her knowledge and consent, then he might as well put a sign on himself saying, I'm part of the Bureau of Missing Persons. Now, we know that isn't true, right? But maybe, yes.
Dice, tendría una esperanza de vida más larga rociando veneno para ratas en sus huevos de comida si él comprara la pintura y la aplicara a las paredes sin su consentimiento. Entonces también podría inscribirse en la oficina de personas desaparecidas. Ahora sabemos que esto no es cierto, ¿verdad? Bueno, tal vez sí. Así es que trate de, hombre, trate de pintar su casa sin el consentimiento de su esposa y verá cómo le va.
So what does the Bible say about the man being the head, the leader of the home? Well, in the ancient Near East, the head was not the primary place of thinking. It was the heart where the thinking took place. And the head was viewed as being on top. The eyes see things. Therefore, it oversees, supervises, it organizes. And the mouth speaks forth and gives account to what happens in the home. So the role of the leader of the home, the head, that's us men, is to be in charge, to oversee, and to give account to everything that happens in the home.
¿Qué dice la Biblia sobre el hombre que es la cabeza o el líder de la casa? Bueno, el antiguo cercano Oriente, la cabeza no era el lugar principal de pensamiento. Era el corazón donde tenía lugar el pensamiento. La cabeza fue vista como en la parte superior. Los ojos ven cosas. Por lo tanto, supervisa y organiza. La boca habla y da cuenta de lo que sucede en el hogar. El papel del jefe, líder del hogar, es estar a cargo de supervisar y dar cuenta de lo que sucede en el hogar.
So in our second point, where it says, a good leader is one who sets the pace. It's where the man doesn't tell everyone what to do. What he does do is lead charge from the front. It's just like in running races, most of you know that I run. So in running races, there are always pace setters. And they help the field of runners set the correct pace in order to have a fast time and makes for an exciting race. So a husband is to set the pace of the family so it'll be successful for God.
El segundo punto es un líder es quien marca el ritmo. El hombre no les dice a todos qué hacer. Lo que hace es liderar la familia desde el frente. En las carreras de carrera hay que marcar el ritmo. Ayudan al grupo de corredores a establecer el ritmo correcto para obtener un tiempo rápido y lograr una carrera emocionante. Un esposo debe establecer el ritmo en la familia para que tenga éxito para Dios.
So the question is, are you the pace setter, man, spiritually in your home? Does she drag you to church? Does your wife teach the kids about Jesus? Or are you the model? Are you the pace setter in this area? Are you creating an atmosphere of love and nurturing and care? Or is your wife responsible to take care of the needs and all the hurts? Are you leading out in the area of discipline in your home? Or are you helping? Are you part of raising the kids? Are you leaving these tasks just for your wife to do alone?
¿Eres el que marca el ritmo espiritualmente en el hogar? ¿Ella te arrastra a la iglesia? ¿Tu esposa les enseña a los niños acerca de Jesús? ¿O eres el modelo, el que marca el ritmo en esta área? ¿Estás creando una atmósfera de amor, cuidado? ¿O es su esposa la responsable de atender las necesidades y heridas? ¿Estás liderando en el área de disciplina? ¿O criando a los niños? ¿Estás dejando estas tareas para que tu esposa las haga a solas?
A good leader sees that the needs are being met. He is not absent, but he's involved. It does not mean that the man has to do it all. But God has designed him a helper, a wife. But you know what? When the rubber meets the road, we are responsible. The man is responsible because he is the head of the wife.
Un buen líder ve que se satisfagan las necesidades. No está ausente, sino involucrado. No significa que el hombre tenga que hacerlo todo. Dios diseñó para él un ayudante, una esposa. Pero por último, el hombre es responsable.
Esto no está aquí. Pero un ejemplo, claro, el the supreme example, one of the supreme examples is our Lord and Savior Jesus himself. He took responsibility. He took responsibility for his family, for his mother, and many things in his life. And he did not just sit on the sidelines. He was involved and concerned and loving and caring. Sorry for the long. Okay. No está, my friend. Okay, so traduzco. So Jesús es el ejemplo supremo. Él no se quedó a un lado de la carretera. Siempre estaba involucrado, proveyendo, ayudando. Él cuidó hasta que su mamá en los últimos de su vida. Entonces, hombres, nosotros también debemos ser así. So a good leader, it says, is one, the third point, is one who shoulders the responsibility. He doesn't look around to blame somebody else. He takes responsibility for the successes or failures of whatever he's trying to do. So if you're a good leader, then you should shoulder the responsibility. When you face God one day and he says, hey, why didn't things go so well in your house? What happened? You can't turn to your wife. You cannot turn to your wife and say, well, you know, God, she just didn't do her job very well. Ultimately, you are responsible for your home. Remember, your wife is to submit, okay? She's to follow under your leadership, your loving, sacrificial leadership. And then you are to lead, but you have to lead in a very specific way.
Un buen líder es aquel quien asume la responsabilidad. No mira a su alrededor para culpar a alguien más. Asume la responsabilidad de los éxitos o fracasos de lo que sea que esté tratando de hacer. Si eres un buen líder, asumirás la responsabilidad. Cuando te enfrentes a Dios un día y Él dice, ¿por qué las cosas no salieron bien en la casa como deberían haber sido? No puede recurrir a su esposa y decirle, bueno, Dios, ella no hizo bien su trabajo. En última instancia, tú eres personalmente responsable del hogar. Recuerde, tu esposa debe someter y tú debes liderar, pero debes liderar de una manera muy específica.
En sus Biblias, in your Bibles, verse 25, it says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with the water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. So a good leader is one who's committed to his wife. That's the next point. Who is committed to his wife no matter what. Then the primary command to the husband is to love your wife. Now, this isn't, as you probably already know, it's not an emotional, romantic type of love. It's the agape type of commitment of love. But what if you say, hey, Craig, I just don't have that pitter-patter like I used to have in my marriage. Anybody ever experienced that, guys? It's just the romantic part's just not there. But that's not what we're, the issue isn't that. The issue is, are you loving your wife in a committed way? and that is the ultimate issue. It says that Jesus loved the church in an agape, committed type of way. He loved the church so much that it drove him to say, I'm going to give my life up for her, for the church. That's the type of agape, committed love. That's the type of love that, guys, we are supposed to have for our wives.
Un buen líder es aquel que está comprometido con su esposa sin importar lo que pase. El mandato principal para el esposo es amar a su esposa. Esto no es un amor emocional y romántico, pero es un agape, palabra en griego, un tipo de compromiso de amor que pasa si dices. ¿Qué pasa si dices, Craig? No siento el amor de mis sueños como solía tener. ¿Cómo puedo recuperarlo? Eso no es el problema aquí. Ciertamente, quieres amar a tu esposa de esa manera, pero el tema final es un tipo de compromiso de amor. Dice que Jesús ama a la iglesia en un tipo de amor comprometido con agape, que lo llevó a entregarse a la iglesia.
So it's the type of love that says, hey, I'm going to do whatever it takes to meet the needs of the most important person in the world other than just myself. So in this case, it's Denise. And that is the love that we should have for our lives.
¿Qué hizo Cristo por la iglesia? Cristo la santificó. Es en un amor sacrificial. Es un amor que dice, haré lo que sea necesario para satisfacer las necesidades de la persona más importante del mundo, que no sea solo yo. Ese es el amor que debemos tener por nuestras vidas.
And so it's like, Jesus said, hey, I'm going to do whatever it takes to save sinners. And the father said, okay, son, what it's going to take is your life and a lot of suffering. And Jesus said, okay, I'll do it. So men, we need to ask the question, what is it? Are you willing to do whatever it takes so that your wife can become all that she can be as a woman, as a child of God?
Jesús dijo, ¿qué haré? Que haré lo que sea necesario para salvar a los pecadores. El padre dijo, hijo, ¿tomarás en serio tu vida y tu muerte? Jesús dijo, está bien, lo haré. Hombres, tenemos que hacer la misma pregunta. ¿Haré lo que sea necesario para que mi esposa se convierta en todo lo que puede ser?
Not like, I'll do whatever it takes to help my boss be all that he can be. It's not, hey, I'm going to go not to help my fishing buddy, my drinking buddy, my soccer buddy, not my basketball buddy, or not my, whatever you fill in the blank, okay? But to do whatever it takes so that your wife and my wife can be all that she can be, this is sacrificial love. This is what Jesus did for you and me.
Dice, no haré lo que sea necesario para ayudar a mi jefe a hacer todo lo que pueda hacer. No para ayudar a mi compañero de pesca, mi compañero de bebida, mi compañero de fútbol. No mi compañero de básquetbol, no mi, llene el espacio, sin hacer lo que sea necesario para que mi esposa pueda hacer todo lo que pueda hacer. Esto es amor sacrificial. Eso es lo que Jesús hizo por ti y por mí.
So, men, think about it. What have you sacrificed for your wife? What thing do you hold most precious to you? Think about it. What outside of her, what is something very important to you that you'd be willing to sacrifice for her? And I'm not talking about just making her comfortable economically, etc., but what would help her, something that you might have to sacrifice so that would help her become all that she can be. That means that you would have to give up something, surely, in your life.
Hombres, ¿qué han sacrificado por ella? ¿Qué es lo que más te importa? ¿Qué estarías dispuesto a sacrificar por ella? No estoy hablando de lo que la harás sentir cómoda, sino de lo que la ayudará a convertirse en todo lo que pueda ser. Eso significa que tendrás que sacrificar algo.
And I can tell you that Denise has sacrificed being out of the country, being in a language that she's often not, lo siento, estoy desviándome. Being in a language that is not always real comfortable for her, living in a country that's always not, very comfortable either. So, aún Denise ha sacrificado mucho por mí, o sea, porque ha vivido en países donde quizá no sea tan cómoda para ella. Tiene que hablar un idioma que a veces no le cuesta. Entonces, ella sobre los años ha sacrificado mucho por mí. Pudiera haber hecho muchas cosas aquí en Estados Unidos y que no pudo lograr o hacer en Latinoamérica. So, guys, love is very practical. Ocho. Love is very practical. So, men, we should love our lives like it says, like we love our own bodies. In verse 28, it says, in the same way husbands ought to love, in the same way husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but they feed and care for their body just as Christ does the church, for we are members of his body. So we're not talking here about any sort of, we're not talking about erotic love here, but how do you love your body? How do you love your body? We're to love our wives just like we take care of our bodies. We feed our bodies, we get sleep, we educate ourselves. Many of you push hard at work when you're at work so you can get ahead, so you can move up the ladder. You relax when you want to relax. Sometimes when you want your ego stroked, you get your ego stroked. You do all these things for yourself, for your survival, and to be all that you can be. But what we should do is turn around and do those same things for our wives.
En el versículo 28 dice así mismo, el esposo debe amar a su esposa como a su propio cuerpo. El que ama a su esposa se ama a sí mismo. Y como todo lo que él no dijo está aquí, no está, entonces...
Sí, está, perdón, aquí.
Pero en inglés.
Es cierto. I made a mistake. ¿Quieres que lo traduzca?
Sí, un poco.
Ah, ok. Solo que los hombres... nosotros, naturalmente, amamos a nuestros cuerpos. Alimentamos nuestros cuerpos, nos educamos, dormimos, comemos, trabajamos duro, etc. O sea, relajamos cuando queremos relajarnos. Y cuando queremos sentirnos bien, buscamos esa forma de hacerlo. Pero... todas esas cosas hacemos para nosotros mismos, pero para que nosotros podamos lograr cosas en nuestras vidas. Pero nosotros debemos dar la vuelta y decir, lo voy a hacer esto para mi esposa. Dirigir esa energía a tu esposa. So, one of the things that a good leader does is nurtures his wife. It says in verse 29, it says that, it said a... after all, no one... where did it go? Where it says he feeds and cares for his own body, just as Christ does the church. So he nurtures his wife. He provides. When you raise your children, you provide for them physically, emotionally, and spiritually, so they have everything they need to grow.
En el versículo 29 dice, pues nadie odia jamás a su propio cuerpo, al contrario, lo alimenta y lo cuida, así como Cristo hace con la iglesia. Sí, me toca aquí.
En proporcionar.
Sí, cuidado del valor.
No. Ahora, la parte de él cuida, I'm sorry, that he cares... For his wife, he does that in a warm, intimate term. It's used like for a mother-child relationship. It's a supportive relationship. It's like we need to take responsibility of meeting the practical needs of our wives. So what are you doing? What am I doing to practice a practical love in your family with your wife? Just remember, you have an important role in the family, but you're not the most important person in your family. Sometimes we treat ourselves like we're the most important, but everyone's important.
Dice, cuidado o valorar, un término cálido e íntimo. Se utiliza para la relación madre e hijo. Es una relación de apoyo. Necesitamos asumir la responsabilidad de satisfacer las necesidades prácticas de nuestras esposas. ¿Qué haces para practicar un amor práctico en tu familia? Su esposa, solo recuerde, tú tienes un papel importante en la familia, pero no eres la persona más importante de la familia. Todos son importantes.
So in order to have a balance on all of that, there's some practical commands that a balanced leader ought to pay attention to for his home. And it's in 1 Peter 3:7. We actually talked about this on Tuesday morning with Larry Murray last week.
Léelo.
9.
Sí. Para tener un equilibrio en todo lo anterior, hay algunos mandatos prácticos a lo que un líder equilibrado debe prestar atención en su hogar.
Y vimos esto la semana pasada. Los martes a las 6 de la mañana, hombres están bienvenidos. So a balanced leader knows God's, let's go to 1 Peter 3:7, and it says, and you're probably already there, and it says in English, husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your own wives and treat them with respect as a weaker partner, as heirs with the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. So we are to live with them in an understanding way, according to knowledge. Well, what kind of knowledge? Well, first of all, you have to know what God's plan for the family is, what the Bible says, and then what your role is supposed to be, which is what we're talking about.
De igual manera, ustedes, esposos, sean comprensivos en su vida conyugal, tratando cada uno a su esposa con respeto, ya que como mujeres es más delicada, y ambos son herederos del grato don de la vida. Así nada os estorbará las oraciones de ustedes. Vivan.
Ajá.
Ah, ok. Y dice, vivan con ellas de una manera comprensiva según el conocimiento. ¿Qué tipo de conocimiento? Primero, que sepa cuál es el plan de Dios para la familia y cuál es tu rol.
So second, you have to know your wife. You have to know your wife. How can you meet her needs if you don't know her and what her needs are?
Segundo, debes conocer a tu esposa. ¿Cómo puedes satisfacer sus necesidades si no las conoces y cuáles son sus necesidades?
After work, you may not be very communicative. Your wife may have little kids. She needs some adult communication. If she works all day, then she's used all of her 70,000 words. And then both of you might tend to not communicate because you've used all your 70,000 words that day. And so we tend to go all we tend to go all in when we try to meet other people's emotional needs. Like, by the time I get home, usually I've spent my 70,000 and beyond in one day when I get there. But you may do the same when you're closing the deal with a client, you're working outside all day, maybe you have kids in your classroom, you do business presentations.
Después del trabajo, puede que no seas muy comunicativo. Es posible que su esposa tenga hijos pequeños y que necesitan comunicación adulta. Si trabaja todo el día, entonces usa todas sus 70,000 palabras y entonces ambos podrían tender a no comunicarse mucho porque han usado todas sus 70,000 palabras. Tendemos a oír todo cuanto satisfacemos las necesidades emocionales de otras personas. Cómo cerrar el trato con un cliente, trabajar afuera todo el día, mis hijos en mi salón de clases, presentaciones de negocios.
Are you guys ever clueless in your house? If you want to retreat and you have a bunch of kids yelling, "Daddy, Daddy," and your wife has that look like, "I need your help and I need it now."
Dice, ¿alguna vez han perdido la idea en tu casa? Deseas retirarse y tiene un montón de niños gritando a papá, papá, y esposa tienen ese aspecto, necesito tu ayuda y la quiero ahora.
You're never going to know your wife unless you listen. Doesn't matter how many years you've been married, guys. You can be married 2 years or 50 years. You will never know your wife unless you listen, because she changes. How many of our wives are crying out to be known by the person who they consider the most significant person to them? That's us. Because oftentimes, we're just too busy.
Dice, nunca conocerás a tu esposa a menos que escuches. ¿Cuántas de nuestras esposas claman por ser conocidas por la persona que consideran que es la persona más importante que conocen? Y no importa si tienes 2 años o 50 años de casados, eso no está aquí, pero él lo dijo. Y estamos demasiado ocupados.
And here, you know, a balanced leader in your outlines doesn't take advantage of his position. He doesn't, as it says in verse 7, he doesn't treat them with, treat them with respect as a weaker partner and as heirs with the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. Be considerate of them. He doesn't take advantage of them. This is where it says about being a weaker vessel, it's not talking about the physical, your body, but it has to do with role and position, that wives are to submit to her husband. Here, it says, even if they're, but wives are even supposed to submit to their husband, even if they're disobedient, and they're not a very good husband. There's some of those out there, and maybe you have been one, and I have been one. But does this put her in a weak position? Yes. Is she vulnerable? Yes. Could it be that a person like that, who's disobedient to the word, and is not being the best husband in the world, could he be a husband that lords things over her and has her thumb on her? Yes. So it could be easy for a man to take advantage of his position. But remember, no matter what, you and I, men, we're responsible before God. And one day, we're going to be held accountable when he asks us, what did we do with our household? He's not going to ask Denise, what did you do with your household? How did you lead your family? And how did you take charge? How did you oversee? He's not going to do that. I really believe he's going to ask me, because I am the head of Denise. I'm her leader. I'm the one who takes the charge and goes forward with her. So I said more than I did in...
Un líder equilibrado no aprovecha su posición. Aquí es donde dice que ella es un vaso más frágil. Interpretación 1, física, no es el enfoque. Interpretación 2, tiene que ver con el rol y la posición. Las esposas deben someterse a su esposo, incluso si son desobedientes o no creyentes, y no son un buen esposo. ¿Esto la pone en una posición débil? Sí. ¿Es ella vulnerable? Sí. ¿Podría ser fácil para el esposo dominarlo? Sí. ¿Podría ser fácil para él aprovechar su posición? Recuerde que seremos responsables de nuestro papel como esposo y padre.
So a balanced leader recognizes his wife as spiritually equal. He grants her honor as a fellow heir. He puts his wife in an exalted position, but not on a pedestal. She's a fellow heir by the grace of God. God sees us as the same spiritually. But as we know, both man and women have different roles.
Un líder equilibrado reconoce a su esposa como espiritualmente igual. Concédele su honor como heredera. Pon a tu esposa en una posición exaltada, pero no en un pedestal. Un compañero heredero por la gracia de Dios. Dios nos ve igual espiritualmente, pero el hombre y la mujer tienen roles diferentes.
Vamos a aquí. Vamos a brincar. So what we need, guys, is we need to be strong, loving leaders in our home if we're ever to be successful. We need men who are willing to put down the software manual, the video joystick, quit tinkering around in your garage all the time. That's what my dad did and never really knew my mom. Stop trying to be Joe Jock. Hey, pick up your Bible.
Okay. Necesitamos líderes fuertes y amorosos para que nuestros hogares tengan éxito. Necesitamos hombres que estén dispuestos a dejar el manual de la computadora o los controles de juego de video, dejar de jugar en su garaje todo el tiempo, dejar de intentar ser este señor que no conozco, yo.
De ser de jugar fútbol o algo okay. todo el tiempo. ¿Y?
Y leer, agarra tu Biblia, leer tu Biblia.
Quit going to so much business training. Get in a support group for husbands. Quit dealing with all the problems at work and deal with the ones at home. Invest time with your wives and kids with the same amount of time and passion as you do with your friends and your hobbies, like fishing, like hunting, or whatever it may be. Because what? That's our job. And we should not shirk from those responsibilities.
Deje ir a capacitación empresarial y únase a un grupo de apoyo para esposos. Deje de liderar con los problemas en el trabajo y lidia con los que están en casa. Invierta tiempo en su esposa e hijos con la misma cantidad de tiempo y pasión que consuman sus amigos y sus pasatiempos. Ese es tu trabajo. No debemos eludir las responsabilidades.
In Ephesians 5:18, the last thing here is that loving leadership is supernatural and filled with the Spirit. In Ephesians, so in the context of all this is Ephesians 5:18. What is Ephesians 5:18? Someone want to read that? Who's got it? Somebody got it memorized? And somebody's calling me because I didn't turn off my phone. Sorry. Who's got that? Ephesians 5:18. Somebody read that.
Don't get drunk with wine, which leads to reckless actions, but be filled by the Spirit.
Okay, very good. So that command comes before loving our wives. And we talked about this last week with the women, that we need the power of the Spirit to be the husbands that we need to be because it's supernatural. You cannot do this on your own. We have to be controlled by the Spirit. So it goes with husbands as well as wives.
El liderazgo amoroso es sobrenatural y está lleno del Espíritu. Efesios 5:18 dice que no os embriaguéis con vino, sino ser llenos del Espíritu Santo. Viene antes del mandato de amar a nuestras esposas. Necesitamos poder para ser los maridos que necesitamos ser. Necesitamos ser controlados por el Espíritu Santo.
So, husbands. Get down, where it says in the space, get down on your knees. Husbands, get down on your knees. And then get up immediately and get involved. So it's not just pray, but it's get involved. It's both things. So I told that to the wives last week to kind of like get out of the husband's way. Let them lead. It may mean leading, they may fail. We may fail in some ways, but let them lead and get on your knees and pray for them.
Maridos, arrodíllense y luego levántense de inmediato y involúquense. Les dije a las esposas la semana pasada que den la oportunidad a los esposos y se pusieran de rodillas y oraran por ellos, que nos den la oportunidad de cometer errores.
So husbands, get on your knees, get involved. We have to get in the game. After 20 years has gone by and our kids are grown or gone, Our wives are, and maybe our wives are gone, and we look back and we say, why did we let all those things take priority and not give priority to my family? Because what's going to happen is you're going to have regret in your life.
Maridos, arrodíllense y luego participe. Tenemos que entrar en el juego. Después que pasaron 20 años y nuestros hijos se fueron, nuestras esposas se fueron y miramos hacia atrás y decimos, ¿por qué dejé que todas estas cosas, esas otras cosas, tomaran prioridades y no le dieran prioridad a mi familia? Me arrepentiré después.
So, here's my big challenge, besides everything I said, was come to Tuesday morning. Come to Tuesday morning, and we're talking about husband and wife relationships. So if that's something that interests you, or you say like, yeah, I probably need to learn more about that, Tuesday mornings at what time, Warren? 6 o'clock. Tuesday morning at 6 o'clock. And you say, well, that's just too early for me. Sorry. I mean, I do it. I hate getting up early. So Tuesday morning. Or get together with another guy. Ask somebody for help because you cannot do this on your own. But what you don't want to do is not do anything. Don't just do anything. Talk to me. Talk to Warren. Talk to Larry. Come and talk to the guys on Tuesday morning. It's beyond Sunday morning. All of us have to deal with this, man.